All right. Well, I will say that was a challenge to me, seeing that missionary report of a missionary who has been on the field for 13 years. 13 years in a third world East African country is something that I really cannot relate to, and most of us here really cannot completely wrap our minds around. That testimony of faithfulness. I can talk about him since he's not in here right now. That's amazing. And that's only God. Only God can do that. No American family raising little kids, with the bugs and the weather and the theft, the trials they're talking about. No American family could do that without supernatural intervention. When I look at that missionary report, oh, I could stand here and cry about that. God did that on their behalf. Oh, what a testimony of faithfulness. What a challenge. Well, the message that I wanted to bring this evening relates to faithfulness. And I was just challenged by seeing that report stirred my heart, realizing that God is calling each one of us also to something equally as significant in His eyes. And that's exciting to me. I also say, we have just been blessed by being with all of you, getting to know you folks over the last few days. It has truly been a blessing to us. It is a jam-packed full missions conference, which I like. We've stayed very busy, gotten to see many aspects of ministry, really gotten to interact with you as a church family, and that has just been a blessing to us. Your fellowship has just been encouraging, so thank you for that. We've been fed very, very well. I think people here around here are trying to, I don't know what, expand our ministry, just tell you. But we've been blessed by that as well, so thank you. If you're turning your Bibles with me now to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, I will read a few verses. Excuse me, you'll have to forgive my throat. I'm talking a little deeper than I normally would. I have a little bit of a cough, nothing too bad. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, read a few verses and then ask the Lord to be in this time that we have this evening. Like what Brother Rodney mentioned yesterday about Monday night being a time where everyone's tired. I'm not sure if Tuesday night means we're more tired or less. I'm not sure, but regardless, let's ask the Lord to use this time that we'll be able to have sharp minds. He'll enable us in that way and see something from the Word of God this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4, we'll begin reading in verse 1. Paul speaking to Timothy, "I charge thee therefore before God in the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not me only, but to all them also that love his appearing." Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless this time we have together. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we look to you. Lord, you are such a faithful God. You are so gracious toward us. Lord, and we thank you for that. Lord, we pray that now that you would give us minds that are sharp. Lord, that you would quicken us in every way, physically, mentally, spiritually, Lord. Lord, that we would be abiding in you, looking to you, identifying very closely with you as our God, and as the one filling us. Lord, and open our hearts to the word this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, in the context of missions, the emphasis that we have this week, I wanted to look at a time where the Apostle Paul is writing his younger brother Timothy, writing him in a very dear, personal way with a charge, with a challenge, something that applies to each one of us in a real way. He was writing from Rome, from prison. I'm going to give a little bit of background on where we are here as he's writing, because it really does make a huge impact as to how we see these words, as to how we see this passage. He was writing from Rome. He was under arrest in Rome. And as he is writing, he makes it very clear that these are some of the last words he would write to his younger brother Timothy. What we read there in verse 6, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." The Apostle Paul is writing, realizing that very soon they're going to kill him. That's the reality of where we are right here. And many scholars believe this book, 2 Timothy, to be the last book that the Apostle Paul wrote. He said, "The time of my departure is at hand. I'm not going to be with you much longer, Timothy." And he charges him very seriously. He introduces this chapter in a way that's very to the point, very powerful. He says, "Timothy, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." He says, "I charge you before God, who shall judge the living and the dead." If one of you came to me and said, "Brother Joe, listen, I charge you before God, who will judge the living and the dead," that would get my attention, okay? I think, wow, what's this guy about to say? He grabs Timothy's attention as he's writing this to him and is going to charge him with some of the last words he would ever write to Timothy. They had a close relationship, these two men. Again, older brother in Christ, younger brother in Christ. Paul had taken Timothy along on many journeys. Paul had traveled side by side with Timothy for miles, many, many miles. Probably talked about all kinds of things, had a very close relationship. They preached side by side, excuse me, in many places. They were beaten side by side. They had a very close relationship. I think being beaten side by side with someone would just kind of somehow draw you together. You know, that's just, I've never experienced that. But he had a real, genuine relationship with Timothy. And these were some of the last words he would write. You know, I haven't experienced this type of thing in my own life, but a loved one who is about to pass away and relays to you some final words, those words would be precious, would be very dear. You know, can you imagine? You're given 30 days to live, and you're going to write a letter to each one of your family members. Those words would be, put some serious thought. That's where we are in this passage, the last chapter of the last letter that he would write to Timothy. He says, "I charge thee before God, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom." And then here's the charge, verse 2. This is where I want to focus our attention this evening. Verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4, he says, "Preach the word," and then look, "be instant, in season, out of season." He says, be instant, in season, out of season. Let's think about this. This is a serious charge he brings to him. First, he says, "Preach the word, Timothy." Timothy was a preacher. He was a man called to preach. That is the theme of the church age, is preaching. That is something the Apostle Paul dedicated his life to from the point that he was saved. That is something that he had mentored Timothy in preaching. It's not something that pastors do because they like to do it. It's something that God has ordained and is for the local church, is preaching. He charges him with this and then doesn't stop there, but with that says, "Preach the word and be instant, in season, out of season." How shall they hear? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Those were Paul's words. That was the burden on his heart, of his life. And that is what he's charging Timothy with here. Be instant, in season, out of season. The word instant, think about this with me. The word instant is only used 21 times in the New Testament. I should say the word that it comes from. So follow this. Aphistemi is the Greek word that comes from, that be instant phrase. But this is the only time in the Bible, in the New Testament, where it's translated be instant. So to think about what that phrase means is very insightful to what this charge is. He says, be instant. The other times that it's used throughout the New Testament, that word, the other times, the other 20 times it would be, it's translated in such a way that says to stand by, okay, or to be at hand, to be present, to be ready. I like that, to be ready. He's saying, Timothy, preach the word and be ready. Or to be held in constant readiness, in season and out of season. Timothy, be held in constant readiness, in season and out of season. You know, in our lives today, in our society, almost all of us work some type of job or have some type of occupation that is seasonal to some extent. He's saying be instant, be always ready, in season and out of season. Almost all of us have occupations that are somewhat seasonal. I was an accountant. I did accounting work, and I did taxes, which are not exciting. But in tax season, from January to April 15th on tax day, I would work a lot. A lot of overtime. You had to be in the office all the time. If I took a vacation week during tax season, I'd probably lose my job. Okay, you had to be there during tax season. Then in the summertime, it was very relaxed. There was not near as much to do. That's when people would take vacation. That was the nature of my job. For many of you, maybe summer would be the busy time, or various types of times in the year would be busy. I know in the retail industry, around Christmas time is when it's busy, and then the rest of the year might be much slower. Almost all of us can relate to a seasonal aspect of our lives. But the charge here to Timothy is a spiritual thing, a spiritual charge that says, Timothy, be instant, in season, and out of season. The Christian life is not seasonal. I look at this testimony of the Myers family, 13 years in Tanzania. They were among people who viewed them as the only person they knew that had a relationship with Jesus Christ. You go into an unreached people group, no one around you knows the Lord. No one around you knows who the Lord truly is. They look at you as the example. What a responsibility. When I look at the testimony of that family, they were instant. They were ready. They were faithful. It's a challenge to me. He says, be instant, in season, and out of season. We are to be held in constant readiness. And the Apostle Paul gives two examples as to occupations that are not seasonal. And they're in verse 7. He says, he uses himself as an example, which is quite appropriate. He was a faithful man. Two examples. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He says, I have fought the good fight as a soldier. Being a soldier is an occupation that is not seasonal. A soldier on duty. At what point does a soldier who is on duty take vacation? He doesn't. A soldier on duty does not take vacation. He has a sword in hand at all times, always ready. Instant, held in constant readiness. And the second example he gives in verse 7 is he finished his course as a runner. That's a picture we see throughout the New Testament. As a runner, running a race. I've never run long ways, like a marathon. I've never done that. I don't find that to be enjoyable, really, to run many, many miles at a time. But from what I understand, people who run an entire marathon in a competitive way do not take breaks at any point. Well, they have to pace themselves, I understand. But they never take a break. They never stop. They don't just take a rest. They're always ready, always instant. He says, I have kept the fight. I have run my course. I finished my course. He's saying, Timothy, the Christian life is not seasonal. God has called each one of us to something. I look at Uganda, I look at the West Nile region, and I realize as we go to this mission field, we must be instant, in season and out of season. There are not going to be seasons of time where we can be lukewarm or lax about our faith, about our vibrancy for the Lord. We must be faithful at all times, always held in constant readiness. His introduction includes the appearing of the Lord, realizing, he's saying, I charge you before God, who will come and judge. He will judge us at his appearing, the living and the dead alike, at the appearing of the Lord. Readiness is a theme we see throughout the Bible as it relates to the rapture, to be always ready for the appearing of our Lord. Luke chapter 12, verse 37, Mr. Myers mentioned that, Brother Rodney mentioned that, Luke chapter 12, verse 37, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. The Lord wants us watching. He wants us to be always ready. There was a time when I was 12 years old. in my hometown in South Bend, Indiana. I was 12 years old. My brother was 10 years old. And I had one brother, three sisters. So my brother and I, who were close in age, would find all sorts of ways to have fun together. We just were desperate to have fun, probably getting into all kinds of trouble oftentimes. And we were more or less city boys. We grew up in a subdivision, okay? So many of you country folk cannot relate to that, to the difficulty of that. No, just kidding. We grew up in a subdivision where we had a small fenced-in backyard. And within that backyard, we had all kinds of fun. Oh, I can think of all sorts of things that we did. We had a sandbox that we would, you know, compete in how dirty we would get within the sandbox and things like that. One summer, we decided, hey, this is what we'll do. We'll dig a hole. Just dig a hole. We weren't digging for anything. We weren't digging to bury anything. We were just digging a hole. It was great. We loved it. And most of you folks are thinking, this is crazy. You know, why would you do that? We dug this hole to the point that we could get down in the hole, and we put boards over it, and it was like a little fort, and, you know, just great. And one day, one Saturday afternoon, my dad comes out. My father comes out to the backyard and sees this gaping hole in the yard, you know, and this mound of dirt. And he looks at it, and he says, okay, boys, listen, it's time to put the dirt back into the hole. It's time to refill the hole. And we said, okay, all right, yep, we'll do that. The next Saturday, my dad comes out again into the backyard, looks at the hole, and the hole had gotten deeper. Mistake on our part. The hole should not have gotten deeper. We realized right away we had made a mistake. We realized right away there was a problem. And as we stood there with our shovels or whatever we were doing, my dad said this. He looked at us and said, boys, next time I come out, the hole had better be filled in. And we realized exactly what that meant. We realized we needed to fill in the hole or there'd be consequences. The Board of Education applied to the seat of knowledge. We'd experienced that before. So we proceeded with a sense of urgency to fill that hole in. The entire time watching, we realized the back door was right there at any given time. My dad could walk out the back door and we'd be in trouble. We filled in that hole. It's amazing how fast the hole filled in. With a sense of urgency. Why? Because we were watching. We knew Dad was coming back. And as we look through the New Testament, what we see is a theme of watchfulness, of readiness, where the Lord wants us to be always ready, always watching. When we are, that has a great impact on the way we conduct ourselves. We spend an entire week careless about the hole, realizing that, we'll fill it in. No, we should have filled it in. That was disobedience, I understand. But realizing that Dad could appear, okay, that Dad was coming back, put us in a place that said, we'd better fill this thing in. And I find it interesting that throughout the history of the world, we see different periods of different dispensations, periods of time, in history, that were specifically defined by periods of time. As in the Old Testament, they knew when Christ was coming back. There's prophecies indicating when Christ's return would be. The millennial kingdom, that's coming. 1,000 years is a defined period of time. But our age, where we are today, we don't know how long it's going to be before Christ comes back. And I don't think it's because Christ forgot to tell us. He wants us watching. He wants us ready. He wants us instant. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. That is a verse, a principle that applies so perfectly to the testimony of what we see with the Myers family. For 13 years, the trials and tribulations, again, are beyond my imagination. The things that they went through, had to deal with on a day-to-day basis. But they were servants whom when the Lord comes, will find watching, find ready for him. Mark chapter 13, verse 35 says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning. The point is, any time during the day, you don't know. You must be ready at all times. If we as God's people make a conscientious effort, recognize this truth, then it'll impact the way we conduct ourselves. It'll change the way we live. If we wake up in the morning and just give thought to the fact that this could be it, just give thought to the fact that this may be my last day of work, this may be my last Monday, my last Tuesday, whatever it may be, this could be it. When we go to bed at night, realize we may not get up in the morning. I think that would motivate us a little bit more to get the gospel to that neighbor we've been praying for? You think that might motivate us a little more to be more faithful, more vibrant for our Lord? At noonday, in the evening, in the morning, whatever it may be ready. What we see in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is a charge looking at Timothy, his younger brother, saying, I'm not going to be here very long. My time of departure is at hand, but Timothy, preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. Are we seasonal Christians, or are we fully sold out to a life of faithfulness to our Lord? Matthew chapter 25, verse 13, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. If you turn with me to Exodus chapter 3, we're going to look at an example of a man, of a life, who really displayed this truth in a powerful way, I do believe, in Exodus chapter 3. To look at the life of Moses. I'll read a few verses here. Exodus chapter 3. Moses' life, if you think about this with me, was interestingly divided into three 40-year periods. Okay? The first 40 years of Moses' life. Now follow this with me. This applies very specifically to what we're talking about. The first 40 years of Moses' life was in Egypt. We remember he was sent on the Nile River in a basket, grew up in Egypt, and spent 40 years in Egypt. That time frame was ended by he killing an Egyptian and fleeing Egypt. We remember that story. So he fled Egypt to the wilderness and then spent 40 years in the wilderness. When he went out into the wilderness, he met a man named Jethro, found out he had a whole bunch of daughters, and married one of them. Spent the next 40 years in the wilderness with Jethro. That time period was ended by his return to Egypt to set the people free, to see God set the people free, and then leading the Israelites, spent the next 40 years wandering in the wilderness with them. Three 40-year periods, very interesting. And where we are right now is at the burning bush. Look at this with me in Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire. And the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. This is a very familiar story. This is something that we, again, are very familiar with, have grown up learning about in Sunday school. But what we see here is a time in Moses' life where he has spent the last 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years as a sheep herder. He was in the sheep business. He was making a living farming sheep, providing for his family. His life consisted of going up into the mountain every morning where the sheep would there graze. Then at the end of the day, he would bring them back. He was taking care of his family, raising them, providing for them. He did that for 40 years. That's a long time. That's about the extent of a career in our day and age, 40, 50 years. 40 years he did this. And when we think about the charge to Timothy that says, Timothy, be instant, in season, and out of season. This time in Moses' life would be something that we could consider out of season. When we think of Moses, we think of what? We think of, again, that baby coming down the Nile River in a basket. When I think of Moses, I think of he going before Pharaoh and saying, Let my people go! And then these plagues coming. I mean, what an event. I mean, that's a picture of the deliverance of the nation of Israel, picturing our deliverance from sin, an incredible point in the Bible. And Moses was the man that God chose to do that. We think of Moses, we think of him going up into the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments. When we think of Moses, we think of him leading the children of Israel across the Red Sea. These incredible memorials in his life of God's power working on his behalf. But right in the middle of Moses' life was a period of 40 years where he was in the sheep business, where he was farming sheep. One day as he's going up into the mountain, like he's been doing for 40 years, he's an 80-year-old man at this point, thereabouts, 80 years old. He sees this bush burning and not being consumed. Any of us would turn aside to see that type of thing. He turns aside to see it, and then here's the voice of the Lord, Moses. Moses. And Moses responds with three words. Three words that shows us his heart. And he says, "Here am I." Three words. "Here am I." May not seem extremely significant, but by the way, Moses chose to be faithful to God from that point forward. We see that those three words showed a tenderness in his heart toward the Lord and his faithfulness to God. He was ready for God to call him. For each one of us, we have seasons in our life that are that way, that are out of season, where it seems like, if I can use this term, the daily grind, the 8 to 5, the whatever it may be, it's a very regular, consistent, seemingly unexciting period in our lives that may feel out of season. And Moses, one of the most pivotal individuals, figures in the Old Testament, used by God for incredible things, spent 40 years farming sheep. There may be some here today that feel, this is a time in my life. I'm just farming sheep. I'm raising sheep. But are we ready? Are we instant, in season, and out of season? We look through the Bible. We look through the Old Testament. Look at each one of the major figures. We think of Daniel, the man that was delivered from the delivered from the lions, if I can say that right. We think of David, who killed Goliath. But think about him, King David. What was he doing when he was 15, 16, 17 years old as a teenager? Watching the sheep every day, faithful, protecting them. First thing in the morning, late at night, was watching the sheep. But when the day came that he heard of this man, Goliath, blaspheming the Lord, he was ready. Why? Because of his faithfulness to God, because of a vibrant, consistent relationship with his God. 13 years in Tanzania, like we mentioned, that doesn't just happen. That's not something a man can just do. That's something God can do because of a faithful walk with the Lord. What a challenge. Joseph, think about Joseph. Joseph is one of my favorite people in the Old Testament. Joseph, we remember, was enslaved, right, in Egypt. For 11 years, Joseph was in Potiphar's house. For 11 years, he was a slave. As far as he knew, he'd be a slave the rest of his life. As far as Joseph knew, whatever God had for him was going to be no more than faithfulness within Potiphar's house. 11 years of that. From age 17 to 28, I believe, from the time he was 17, 11 years he was in Potiphar's house. And after 11 years, Potiphar's wife, I remember, tempted him and grabbed his coat and said, "Come over here." We realized she tempted him. But what we see there is Joseph walking with the Lord after 11 years as a slave. He spent another 2 years in prison. He may have thought he'd never leave prison. It was beginning to look that way. It was beginning to look like he was completely forgotten, like he'd never leave that prison cell. He would just die there. But no, he was faithful to God. Each one of us, God is calling and needs us to be ready at all times. The three examples given in 2 Timothy chapter 4 is Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Three examples of how to be instant in season, out of season. Realize every time we walk into church on a Sunday morning, whether we feel like it's an in-season time in our lives or an out-of-season time spiritually, whether we're just excited to be in church or maybe tired from a busy week and not so excited, realize God needs us to be ready because there may be brothers and sisters that need exhortation. God may be preparing someone, a younger brother or sister, or an older brother and sister, whoever it may be. God may be preparing someone for you to exhort. We need each other's exhortation. He also includes rebuking, reproving, which are also things that are truly our responsibility before God with long-suffering and doctrine to be done in the right way. But exhortation, these things are things that God needs us to be ready to do at all times. To be always ready and watching. We have a cunning enemy. Our adversary, the devil, is very well aware of our faithfulness to the Lord, of our walk with the Lord, and how vibrant and true it really is. You know, in the history of the world, we see many times where battles happen, where the enemy struck when their opponent was not ready. Christmas Day, many, many battles have happened on Christmas Day, because Christmas Day is a time where people are relaxing and not holding their sword. Our adversary is aware of that. That's not something for us to be afraid of. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, but we must be ready. That's a challenge to me as we see this testimony from Tanzania, as young people, we are young, we don't have that type of experience, are going to a country that needs to see a vibrancy lived through Jesus Christ. Our burden should be to be instant, in season, out of season. Brother Rodney said it so well. He said, Jesus Christ himself is the one God worth making that sacrifice for, giving those 13 years to. And that is so true for each one of us. So that one day we can say, as the Apostle Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Are we doing that today? Are we faithful to him at all times? This may be a time in some of our lives that seems out of season, where we're just... there's nothing especially exciting seemingly going on, but God needs us to be ready. Oswald Chambers wrote this, and I'll close with this. He said, one of the worst traps a Christian worker can fall into is to become obsessed with his own exceptional moments of inspiration. When the Spirit of God gives you a time of inspiration and insight, you tend to say, now that I've experienced this moment, I'll always be like this for God. He goes on to say, no, you will not, and God will make sure of that. If you make a God out of your best moments, you will find that God will fade out of your life, never to return, until you are obedient to the work you are closest to right now, and until you have learned not to be obsessed with those exceptional moments he has given you. God is calling us each to something close right now. Our children, our grandchildren, young people in the church, relationships we have within the body of Christ, God is calling us to something close right now. We need to take it seriously. Be held in constant readiness, in season, out of season. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this challenge. Lord, we realize it is a very pointed, sharp challenge given to us, Lord, to be always ready, to be truly faithful. Lord, as we desire to be faithful to you as you've been faithful to us, Lord, I pray that you would show yourself strong on our behalf. Lord, it's easy for us to grow lukewarm and lax in our walk with you, but Lord, we must walk closely with you. We've seen that example given many times throughout the Bible, how you used men in a powerful way as they chose to be faithful to you. Lord, please be with us in that way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.